BP, big profits.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The British oil giant BP has reported a big hike in earnings on the back of higher oil and natural gas prices. The company has also unveiled measures to tackle many of the problems in the United States. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BP's second quarter profits have jumped 30%, but the celebratory tone of today's statement is rather muted. The company acknowledges a series of regulatory and safety problems in the US. The explosion at its Texas City refinery last year claimed 15 lives. A massive oil leak in Alaska is under federal investigation, and the company's been accused of manipulating the propane market. Today, BP said it was spending an extra $1 billion upgrading its American safety systems. The company has to ask itself some searching questions, says Carola Hoyos of the Financial Times.
For me, the big question is whether these are just isolated events or whether there's a fundamental problem with the operation in the U.S.
The company is increasingly dependent on its American operations. The U.S. accounts for a third of its workforce and up to a half of its assets and revenues. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
One of the reasons for the high price of oil is China's growing appetite for it. In June, its demand rose for the third month in a row. It topped 7 million barrels per day. That's up 15% from the same period a year ago. Plenty of finger-pointing today after the failure of the Doha round of international trade talks on Monday. Among other things, those talks were supposed to improve the economies of the world's poorest countries. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli tells us what some of the sticking points were.
Some trade experts say U.S. and European intransigence on farm subsidies was a crucial stumbling block. India's reluctance to open its markets was another factor. Susan Seckler of the German Marshall Fund says the biggest losers are developing countries and especially Africa.
It's really been shown time and time again that you need real growth for development and for raising up incomes, and that won't be possible now.
The collapse of the talks probably means richer countries will move toward bilateral trade deals among themselves, with agriculture subsidies off the table. Ann Tutwiler of the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation says the poorest countries lose there, too.
So they will have, I think, very little recourse to improve their lot, at least through world markets.
Tutwiler says there may be some attempt to resurrect these talks after the U.S. Congress's August break, after the November elections, or two elections from now when there's a new U.S. president. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
You think it's hot here? In France, it's so hot that the French health minister had to ask medical students and retired doctors to show up for work on official heat wave alert. Of course, it didn't help that surgeons and specialists in the more than 600 private clinics are in the middle of an open-ended strike. And if you think that's a little over the top, well, just remember that back in 2003, 15,000 people died in a similar heat wave. Well, the numbers were way up at the close of business in Wall Street yesterday. The Dow soared 182 points to 11,051. The Nasdaq climbed 41 points to 2061, and the S&P also up 20 points at 1260. This is a Marketplace. The heat wave across this country has helped business and movie theaters. As Marketplace's Jeff Tyler tells us, the high temperatures have boosted the bottom line for one film in particular.
When it's hot outside, Americans tend to spend more time inside air-conditioned movie theaters.
The heat wave has been good for business.
That's Brian Fuson, box office analyst for The Hollywood Reporter. Global warming might seem like counterintuitive programming for folks trying to escape the heat, but the new ad campaign for the documentary An Inconvenient Truth has used the toasty weather to its advantage. Newspaper ads for the film now list scorching temperatures in several U.S. cities.
It's kind of unusual in the seventh, eighth week of release to have a fresh ad campaigns going out to keep a film in the public eye. I think it's been pretty effective.
Effective enough, says Fuson, that An Inconvenient Truth is on track to gross more than $20 million. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, announcing the Triumphant Souls Award and the Global Heroes Program, Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon programs for runners with chronic disease. More at MedtronicTwinCitiesMarathon.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. When you hear the name Wrigley's, you think of gum. How about Altoids and Lifesavers? Wrigley's bought those brands from Kraft last year. That purchase could gum up the works in their earnings statement when it's announced today, Rachel Dornhelm reports.
It's been a sticky situation since Wrigley bought the Lifesavers and Altoids brands from Kraft last year for $1.4 billion. Food industry analyst Mark Schumann says at the time it seemed like a great move for a company that already had a huge presence at candy counters around the world.
To be able to put more products through that supply chain should be a positive, but it's appearing that getting the sales to turn around is a much bigger task than we had given it credit for.
Schumann says he expects today's earnings report will reflect continued growing pains from the acquisition. Altoids has faced stiff competition in the breath mints market, while Lifesavers is suffering with the rest of the hard candy sector from high sugar prices and reduced consumer demand. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
This week, the House and Senate are working quickly to reform the nation's private pension system. It's also referred to as a defined benefit program. Lawmakers are concerned that too many companies default on their pension obligations, and that leaves the government holding the bag. Congress wants to create a law that would force companies to set aside more money to fund retirement plans, but commentator Barry Nailbuff has a different suggestion.
Defined benefit plans make all the sense in the world. That's because all employees are covered automatically. Even more importantly, defined benefit plans make sense because companies are in a better position to pool money and invest it over time than individuals with defined contribution plans like 401ks. The trouble is, many companies offering defined benefits don't put enough aside. They pretend things are okay by exaggerating the returns they expect to get in the future. Today, defined benefit plans are underfunded by $400 billion. Fortunately, there's the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation to bail out these companies and their employees. The PBGC insures pensions up to about $48,000 for folks who retire at 65. But you're out of luck if your promised pension was any bigger than that. My solution is private insurance to cover the gap. After all, we've got Medigap insurance to cover what Medicare doesn't. Private insurance companies should offer policies that protect the uninsured portion of an employee's pension if their employer goes belly up. Employees could pay for that insurance or negotiate to have their firms pick up the tab. If companies had to buy pension gap insurance, that would guarantee they'd fund their pension plans at the right level. Otherwise, the premium would be sky high. And if employees are the ones to buy that insurance, you can be sure that workers and unions will pressure companies to fund their plans and keep premiums affordable. Right now, defined benefit plans are broken. So, firms are abandoning ship and moving to defined contribution plans. That's just creating a new problem 30 years down the road when workers' paltry savings won't be enough to retire on. Instead, we should use private insurance not just to fill the gap, but to set the true price of risk.
Barry Nailbuff teaches at the Yale School of Management in Los Angeles. I'm Mark Austin Thomas.
American Public Media.
On the next Marketplace, we'll share a new...
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.